The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Heaven, to come to your aid, he will do it. He will do it. That's why you are his son. No harm. No hurt. No shame. Say it again. Say, no harm. No hurt. No shame. Hallelujah. Amen. So this morning, I'm bringing a teaching. I'm starting homo. Whatever you call it is correct. It's not English. It's Greek. So people say homologios. Say homologio. No, it's correct. It's not your language, so it's fine. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Are you ready? This what I'm sharing with you, you see, this period is one of the most important subjects every Christian must master. And you need to know it for your own good. If you don't know it, it's to your own detriment. Are you getting the point? The word homologio simply means to acknowledge, to confess. That's what it means. To acknowledge, to confess, to talk. In reality, it means, like acknowledge, it means if I say something, you acknowledge it, you say it. So in other words, it means to say the same thing. So it's just like I tell Pastor Izu now something about him, and then he repeats that same thing. That's homologio. Homo means same. Of course, you know that same. That's where you get things like homosexuality, that's same sex. I get to the point. Are you following me at all? So same speaking. That the word is actually from two words, homo and logos. Logos is words. You should know that now. Yeah, they say that is logos, that is rhema. You've got all those things. So logos is words. Why homo is same? So homologio, homo logos, to say the same thing. Are you following? I'm just more Greek class for you this morning. Amen. To say the same thing. And that's what we're looking at this morning. It's a very important subject to learn how to talk. You see, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. At the end of this teaching, you understand how to use your tongue. This month is going to be very powerful. And you are going to see mind-blowing results. Hallelujah. And that's not because I said it. But that's because God's word always works. Always. Hallelujah. He said, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. He said, but what said it? Come on, verse 8, come on. But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. And so you notice the faith that we have in Christ Jesus is a speaking faith. Is a faith that talks. The faith we have in Christ Jesus speaks. He said the righteousness, the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. So righteousness by faith speaks. Faith speaks. And I tell you for free, you cannot say you have faith if you don't talk. Faith is expressed by speaking. Faith is expressed by speaking. That is why how we get born again is actually by believing in our hearts. But if you believe in your heart, you must say with your tongue. Because the proof that you believe in your heart is what you say. Faith is expressed by speaking. And notice this faith, according to verse 8, this faith speaks in two places. According to verse 8, where does it speak? It speaks in the mouth and in the heart. And I tell you, this verse carries a very powerful principle for us. Your heart and your mouth must be in agreement before you see results in life. Don't forget what I said now. I will not touch it today, but I'm just mentioning it. Before you want to see changes, your heart and your tongue must be in agreement. What else? If your heart believes something, and your tongue is not saying it, nothing is going to happen.
And if your tongue is saying something and your heart does not believe it, nothing is still going to happen. I'll come to it later, not today. Your heart and your tongue must be in agreement for things to happen. That's why Jesus would say, if you believe in your heart, say to this mountain. So your heart must be saying something and your tongue must be resonating what your heart is saying. I get the point. Your heart must be saying something and your mouth must say the same thing. But you see, the beautiful thing about our teaching this month is that even though your heart and your mouth needs to be in agreement, the way to feed your heart is your mouth. Yeah, follow this closely. The way somebody say, I can't talk. If I keep saying, I believe things will work out fine, I really don't believe it in my heart. It's okay, because the road to your heart is your tongue. You know, I've said the people think that the way to their heart is their ear. And I said it to you before, the way to your head is your ear. The things I say to you, they enter your head as knowledge. The things you say to yourself, the things you hear repeatedly, gets to your heart as conviction. Again, the things you say to yourself, get to your heart as conviction. Are you getting me? So once you begin to talk to yourself, what you are doing, when you begin to talk, you are feeding your heart. Look at Romans 10 verse 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So how the word of God gets to your heart is through your mouth. And I'd like to say this to you. If you have not learned how to talk, you are going to be a very weak Christian. You're going to be a very weak person. You're going to be a very weak believer. Because how to feed your heart is your tongue. That's why I tell you, friends, you don't come to church with a closed mouth. If normally you don't do life with a closed tongue, a closed mouth. Because how to fill your heart is by the word of God, by the words in your mouth. Your mouth will fill your heart. I say it again. Your mouth is the road to your heart. It's the way to your heart. That's how to fill your heart. That's how to fill your heart. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, he told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it. So listen, where should the book of the law not depart? Look at the scripture. From where? Talk. From where? From your mouth. What do you do after it doesn't depart from your mouth? You shall meditate. Where does meditation take place? In the heart. So you keep the book of the law in your mouth, then you meditate on it in your heart. Because it is from that your mouth that your heart will be fed. And that's why I tell people, if you're a very silent person, that's why in Christ Jesus, there is nothing like temperament. I don't talk much, you know, you guys are loud in this church. I'm not the talking, I'm a very quiet person. I'm phlegmatic. I don't talk. There's nothing like that in Christ Jesus. Because the Bible never gave us the temperament of Peter, of John, of James, but they were talking. I, for one, believe that maybe some of these apostles, we are not very loud. Someone has tried to do a study on the temperament of Bible characters. And beautiful study. They tried to analyze the things they did. They say things like, Paul was choleric, Abraham was phlegmatic. Well, whatever temperament you give them, they all had the same character, the same faith, the same attitude. In other words, whether you are quiet, you say, I'm not a loud person, I'm an introvert, you must learn to use your tongue. Because your heart will be fed by your tongue. By your tongue. I will say this to you. We are speaking spirits. We are speaking spirits. How we control things in our life is by talking. How we control things in our lives is by talking. By engaging our tongue, we control our life. Look at James chapter 3 and verse 2. The Apostle James, James chapter 3 and verse 2. He said, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, this is what blessed me tremendously this week. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And is able to break through the whole body. So if your word is perfect, you can gain control over your entire body. Are you following me? In other words, if you offend in words, you have lost control of your entire body. And one of the things this series is going to teach you is that you cannot be a loose talker. Did I say that all the time? You can't be someone that says just anything. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body. Now look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. Have you seen a horse before? When I'm trying to ride a horse, you put bits. The bits are like the steering of a car. You put it that they may obey us. So how do you know? Have you ever seen people riding a horse? I know you've not ridden a horse before. Neither have I. Thank you. Hallelujah. And so, but then, if you put the stuff in the mouth, once that bit is in the mouth, you can be able to control the entire body of the horse. The Apostle James is using that to explain to us how the tongue is. That the same way we can use the bit we put in the horse's mouth to control his entire body, that your tongue is the bit that controls your entire life. So the steering of a man's life is not his legs, it's his tongue. Come on, I'm preaching better than you are amening this morning. Amen. The steering to your entire body is not your legs. What I'm saying is, what will carry you to your next destination is not your leg. It's your tongue. What will take you to your next level, what will carry you into that office, well, I'm not touching physical things today much. Maybe next week or next 2 weeks. Because you see, most times you get a job, most times you've gotten the job before you get it. So the testimony we read said as at March this year, she was out of job. I know this testimony very well. It was actually a very powerful one because sometime last year, the Lord instructed her to do something. The instruction was she's supposed to live somewhere where she was. Leave her comfort zone, leave her house, leave the church she was worshiping with, and leave her job because the church was connected to the job. And Lord told her, stay with this ministry. That's where I want you to be. So after more than 1 year, she kept insisting. I said, it's fine. Obey God. He said, it means I will, the house was connected to the church. The job was connected to the church. So she lost it. She left the church, lost the job, lost her house. Are you following me? That was last year. And I said, keep talking. Keep talking. Do you have a voice? Do you have a tongue? Keep talking. We came into this year. Keep talking. Hallelujah. And I'm saying this in all form of humility and in all thanks to God. Sometimes when she comes from meeting, a graduate, I'm not talking about this small person though, comes from meeting and the one that will say, okay, this is your teacher, go back home. And he was spending her, she has her heart for God. You get it? She has her heart for God. She was spending her. Something, the other thing she called, she was crying, said, how come even at this level you are still the one? I said, don't worry. Are you getting the point? Don't worry. And then we continued like that. Then it started 13th. The first job came. I mean, 14th or so, the first job came. None of the jobs I'm talking about is in tens of thousands. None. I don't call figures. Then after some 2 months or so, the second job came. Last week, the third job came. But since that test, there's a part of testimony I removed. Send it very late in the night. Said, I'm very sorry I'm sending this thing by this time of the night. It's just because I didn't want morning to come. If I tell you. They just confirmed it now. I get to the point. And all these jobs, you know, one of the ones, all these jobs I'm telling you, she works at her pace. The key thing is, if you have a tongue, don't be down. How many years is it going to take? I don't know. Are you following me? I don't know. This is not my teaching today. I'm really going to, but I don't know how many years it's going to take. I don't know how many months it's going to take. But though it started, wait for it. Are you following me? Wait for it. No matter how many years you've said, life is working in you. Keep saying it. Life is working in you. Amen. And so, to continue with that verse. Look at verse 4. We put bits in their mouth. Verse 4 said, behold also the ships. Which, have you seen a ship before? You've seen Titanic. So at least you saw the movie. They are so great. And they are driven by fierce winds. Yet, are they turned about with A very small ham withersoever the government of Israel. So what controls that big ship is one small thing like that. That's what they say. It's not as big as the ship is. It's just one small thing used to direct. A big ship. That's how your tongue is. Even so, the tongue is a little member. He said, and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire can let. So this, no matter how small your thing, this tongue is a very small part of the body. That is what controls your entire life. Are you following me? And I can tell you for free, that's what destroys people. This tongue has destroyed relationships. It has destroyed families. It has destroyed businesses. If you don't know how to use it. It has destroyed people's life. It has killed people. Not just killing you. It can kill you and kill somebody. You know, you can use the same tongue to kill somebody. You can use the same tongue to give somebody life. And it's not just a spiritual thing. You can use this thing to kill the person as far in the name of Jesus die. That's not good though. God doesn't kill. You don't use the power of God to kill. But if you can use it, it's a tongue. You know, apart from cursing people, you can use it to shut people's life down. But that is the way you talk to somebody. The person who, have I ever spoken to you and you went home thinking about your life? The tongue, that's powerful. You know, there are people that's their anointing. And if I like that, you better stop it. The Bible says, let your words be seasoned with salt. Don't destroy people with your words. Some of you don't know, the problem with words is that once you release them, you can't take them back again. They are out. And even though you might say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, the person goes on to think about what you said. Are you following me this morning? He goes on to think about what he said. That's why you must be very careful with how you talk to people. Very, very careful. The things you say in anger, when your anger goes, you will forget it. The person you spoke to may never forget it. Are you following me? The person may, I don't know why I'm digressing this morning. The person may never forget it. And so, you say, you know, I'm just very, you know, I'm hot-tempered. You're hot-tempered and your hot-temper gets to your tongue. You have a problem. Are you following me? It's a very terrible thing. I say, hey, idiot, get out. Foolish. You can never, let me tell you, you can never make it. I told people like that, you know, unless I'm sorry now, I'll just carry it away. The person may never forget it. But let me even tell you, if you have a strong spirit, if people talk to you like that, it doesn't enter. That's where I am now. You just talk. I say, you're a very foolish person. Whoa, it's fine. it's your thoughts. Changes nothing. But you must guard your tongue. Are you following me? Proverbs 13 verse 2. So we are speaking spirits. Our tongue, our words control our life. He said, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. So how to eat good in this life is by the fruit of your mouth. That's very powerful. That's very powerful. So you want to enjoy good things in this life? The fruit of your mouth. Psalm 34 verse 12. Psalm 34 verse 12. The fruit of your mouth. What man is he that desireth life? Is there anybody like that here? And loveth many days that he may see good. The psalmist is asking, is anybody like that desiring life and wants many good days? Look at the answer. Continue. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. In other words, if you keep speaking evil and you want good, you will see evil. You will see evil. Because the more you keep saying that, your heart is receiving the things you are saying. It doesn't matter what you want on the outside. That I just wish. What you keep saying is what you will receive. Keep thy tongue from evil. First Peter said the same thing. First Peter 3 verse 10. What you think I'm just doing? Old Testament. 1 Peter 3 verse 10. 1 Peter 3 verse 10. Glory to God. He quoted the psalmist, said, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And so, what you see in life, that's why I tell you guys, life can be very predictable. What you are saying today is what you will say tomorrow. I tell people, you see, where we are today as a church, and I say it with all form of humility and in thanksgiving, where we are today as a church, you see, we spoke ourselves to this place. Amen? And where we will be in the next 5 years, we are already speaking ourselves to that place. The very same principle. And so you keep short. See, this is a biblical principle that many religions, even people that formed their atheists, they've borrowed this thing, but they call their own positive conversion. It's a principle of life. It's a biblical principle. You want to see good days, talk. Amen. If I let me say two things to you. One, a major authority, one, a major sign of faith is speaking. You see, two major signs of unbelief. Number one, he's not speaking at all. Number two, speaking the wrong words. Unbelief can be seen. What? Two major signs of unbelief. One, if you are not talking, because you see, passivity when it comes to your confession is accepting whatever life throws at you. People think if you don't say anything, things will be fine. If you don't say anything, life will give you things you do not bargain for. And trust me, life will not be fair to you. It will not be fair. So when you are not talking at all, you are in unbelief. Two, when you are saying the wrong things, you are in unbelief. When you are saying the wrong things, you are in unbelief. When you are not talking at all, you are in unbelief. When you are speaking the wrong things, you know, there's a challenge around you. And you say nothing. You just wish. I just wish that will happen. Nothing is going to happen. Wishes are, you see, if wishes were horses, wishes are not horses. Do you understand? They are not. You don't wish things away. Two, there's an issue in your life and you're talking anyhow. And you're just saying, I think this sickness is just going to kill somebody. It's not me. I can't even an example. I can't use it. Now like this, we go there. The way this is going there. The way this is, come on. You just keep complaining and complaining as, if I let me tell, maybe later I'll talk about wrong words. There are words you don't speak. See, words complaining, murmuring, those things are the wrong words. They can never work out anything. It's a sign that you're in unbelief. Doesn't matter what you hear in church and what you say in church and what you say, the pastor is saying you are blessed. And that's why next week or so, I'm going to say a little, maybe take 10 or 15 minutes to tell you the power of amen. You know what I said? The power of what? Yeah. Once as we come to church, you say, in Jesus' name, you are blessed. Nothing is going to work. Because it is not what I say that will work in your life. It is what I say that you agree with that will work in your life. And there is no other way to agree with what I said. It's not in your heart. Remember, it is from your mouth to your heart. So, listen, if I say you are healed and you don't say amen, you will not be healed. It doesn't matter how much power that I deploy. Because God is not going to invade your heart against your will. Are you following what I'm talking about? God did not invade. Some people go to church, I think it's being a big boy or being a big girl. When they say amen, when they say shout amen, say amen. You are being a big boy. And I told you guys, some time ago, I used to. Remember I said this, when I used to minister the power of God those days, and I started newly. When I started newly, you know, when I meet people just say, have you met people that, some of you are like that, you're like that, stop it. I'm like, I'm not going to fall. Have you met them? Have you ever been like that at any time? I'm not going to fall. Let me see. Those days when I started, if you just do that stuff for me, I will show you that there is a God in heaven. I'll push you down. Like, I'll tell God, just God, fall this boy for me. But you know, having made some progress in my walk with God, I don't have time for you again. You don't want to fall? May God keep you standing. You know, because the point is, you are not receptive. I'm not going to force it on you. But there are many other people who are receptive. So you're going to by saying in Jesus' name, you are blessed. I just do informing big boy. As you are forming the big boy, people are catching the thing. And I say to you, you are blessed. Yeah, that's how to respond to it. You must have a tongue. You must have a tongue. It's not just because I'm doing this teaching. You must be ready because things don't come to you suddenly. He said, Matthew 18, he said, whatever you permit in heaven, on earth rather, is permitted in heaven. Whatever you forbid is forbidden in heaven. You know, how do you forbid and permit things? If two of you shall agree concerning a matter. So it is with your words that you permit and forbid things. Are you following me? And I don't forbid things. And so, well, that's not today. But I'm just trying to show you, your words will control your life. So not speaking at all and speaking the wrong things
are signs of unbelief. Hallelujah. Now, but you see, the kind of confession I'm talking about this morning is homologio. Let me just say that before I continue. Homologio means to say the same thing. To say the same thing means that you've heard that thing said somewhere and you are just repeating it. That is why what we teach when we teach Christian confession is not positive confession. It's not positive speaking. What we are saying is speaking God's word. In other words, God says something and you take it from God's mouth and you say the same thing. That's what works. Are you following me? It is when God has said something and you repeat, it's to acknowledge. To repeat what God has said. To repeat what God has said. So if I say after me, I'm saying, okay, let's practice homologio. You get it? That's what I mean. If I say A, you say A. That's what children do in children's church. A is for this and all that. Say, I love Jesus. You are repeating, you are taking words from the teacher. So homologio means to take words from the mouth of God. So when he says something, you repeat the same thing that he has said. And I'm going to start from somewhere today. Because in this series, I'm going to show you different aspects that your confession must cover. I will show you that. And one of the very first aspects your confession must cover is your realities in Christ. Your spiritual realities in Christ. And this is actually the most important. It is the most important. Because it is from this place that every other thing is controlled. So a believer must learn to speak and speak again concerning his realities in Christ. Hallelujah. A believer must learn to speak and speak again concerning his realities in Christ. In Philemon verse 6, he said that the communication of thy faith be made effectual. How will it be made effectual? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. So how the conclusion of it becomes effectual is when you begin to acknowledge the good things that are in you. When you begin to acknowledge the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, for the believer in Christ, there are good things that came into you when you came into Christ. And you must learn to acknowledge them by saying them over and over again. You must learn to acknowledge them by saying them over and over again. By saying them over and over again. They are done, they are settled facts. Listen, I'm coming to that shortly. Your speaking them will not make them happen. But you must say them. I will tell you what your speaking does. But you see, these things that God has done for us in Christ, you must say them. You must keep saying them. There are good things in you in Christ Jesus. You must keep talking about them. You must keep confessing them. You must keep acknowledging them. Psalm 103 will tell us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So, what are the benefits? Verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities? So, the psalmist is teaching us something. So, when you stay in your room, how do you pray? Oh, thank you, Father, who forgives all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases. Continue. So someone said, who redeemed my life from destruction, who crowned me with loving kindness. You must learn to talk. You must learn to practice speaking your new creation realities. To practice speaking the things that you have in Christ Jesus. We see things like Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. It tells us that God has blessed because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Sam blessed. Who has blessed us? Now, what tense is this blessed? It's in the past. He has blessed us. So the things you are talking about here today, they have happened already. So your speaking them will not make them happen. But you must say them. I will tell you why you must say them. I'm coming to that. So I'm not saying you should start confessing and forgiving so that you'll be forgiven. No, you are already forgiven. So how this particular confession works is, you find out from the Bible what God has done for you in Christ, then you put it on your lips. For instance, you read 1 John 2 verse 12. It says, I write unto you, little children, for your sins are forgiven you for. So what are you learning? My sins are. So what do you do with that? You put it on your lips. So, new creation like this is not just for you to know, it's for you to say. Are you following me? It's not just for you to know them in your head,
Because I'm already running ahead of myself, but let me just talk about it. Because actually I told you how your heart is filled is by your mouth. So the more you keep saying it's entering your heart, I'm coming to that. So it's not just for you to know, it's for you to say. So you can begin to say things like, my sins are forgiven. Because he says he has forgiven you your sins. Notice it's in the past. So as you know it, you acknowledge it. As you know it, you acknowledge, you begin to say it. And that's the most important part of confession. When you begin to speak out the things that God has done for you in Christ, how much you know that your sins are forgiven? Let me see your hands if you know. That your sins are totally forgiven. Wiped off. If you know it, you will say it. That's confession. That's confession. For instance, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So what do you say? I am righteous. Now, will it make you righteous? No, it will make you righteous. You're already righteous in Christ. But you must know it. And if you know it, you must say it. Are you following me this morning? If you know it, you must say it. So you can say, I'm righteous in him. My sins are forgiven. You must say that. Because, you know, you begin to learn as we progress that one of the reasons why we lose sight of the things God has done for us in Christ is because we don't say them. One of the reasons. If God, you know that Psalm 107, he said, has God blessed you? Has God redeemed you? Tell of it. Speak it. So the things that God has done for you in Christ Jesus, you must talk about, you must talk it. Amen. You must say it. You must shout it. You must confess it. It's a principle of life. You must confess it. Ephesians 1 verse 6 tells us that he has made us accepted in the beloved. I like that verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, where he has made us accepted. So you look at him and say, I am accepted. I am accepted in the beloved. You see, that already begins to deal with low self-esteem. That already begins to deal with inferiority complex because you know that God has accepted you. So you put it in your tongue and you begin to speak. I'm accepted. I cannot be rejected. God has accepted me in the beloved. You know what this verse means? It means that the same way that the beloved is Christ Jesus, the same way he has been accepted, that is the same way you have been accepted. So the same way God has accepted Christ, God has accepted you. And you keep saying it. These are the things that God has done for us in Christ. They can never be overemphasized. Never. In fact, we don't say them enough. We don't say them enough. Hallelujah. We don't say them enough. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. Hebrews 2 verse 10. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Is it verse 10? Okay. Go to see the next verse. That's the verse I'm looking for. I'm coming to verse 10. Surely. Okay, verse 11. He said, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified, they are what? All of one. For which God is not ashamed to call them. So who is he that sanctified? Christ. Who are they that are sanctified? So is there any sanctified man in the house? So what do you do with those things? You put them on your lips. Are you following me? You put them on your lips. I am sanctified. I am sanctified. I am holy. Glory to God. When I say, no one is holy, say, well, speak for yourself. I am holy. How did he become holy? In Christ Jesus, when he promised himself, he made me holy. Know what it means to make holy? Know what it means to sanctify? To sanctify simply means to set something apart. Oh, glory to God. To set something apart. Glory to God. You see, there are many seats here. But for this service, we set these seats apart from the pastor and ministers to sit. So we sanctify them. We set them apart. In your house, there are many places. But you set one apart for your dad to use to eat or for your husband. I get the point. In your house, there are many cups. But you set one apart. That's what it means to sanctify. That's what it means to sanctify. You set it apart. And glory to God, 1 Peter 2 verse 9. He said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. God's own people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that. Hallelujah. That you should show my praise of him. Look at what I'm looking for. Who has what?
called us out of darkness. What it means is, the darkness is talking about is the whole world. So God came to the whole world, darkness, and picked a couple of persons and brought them into light. And I am one of those people. That's sanctification right there. I've been set apart from darkness and brought into light. I'm brought into light. Are you following me this morning? That's what it means. So people say, nobody is holy. No, the Bible said we are holy. You read the whole epistles, the Bible kept saying, kept calling believers saints, saints, saints. I write unto you, saints. Sam is saints in Christ Jesus. The saint is not the man that has died. Because there are two saints, there is the saints militant and the saints triumphant. The saints militants are the saints, you and I, who have believed in Christ Jesus, who are alive on the earth today. The saints triumphant are the ones that have died and they are now in heaven. They are still saints. I can even say this to you. You will not be more saintly than you are now. Even when you die, you will not be more saintly than you are. He says, sir, are you sure of what I say? You are actually holy. And that's how to see yourself. That's how to see yourself. We've taught the believer to speak doubt. We've taught the believer to speak who he is not. You know, we are like fish in the water. And we can never say that water will not touch us. What's that even supposed to mean? We are who is fish in which water? I'm not a fish in any water. I've been called out of darkness into light. If at all I am a fish in water, the water is light. You didn't hear me. Because I'm not in the water of darkness. I've been called out of darkness and brought into light. So if indeed that proverb is true, that fishes in the water, that water will always touch them, it means the man in the light will always touch him. You're not following me this morning. I am a child of light. I'm not in darkness. So I'm not, you know, say, you know, we all have sinned. No. All of us have not sinned. He said, but sir, the Bible said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Put it up. Glory to God. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. You don't know who it is. I'm not going to mention that. I'll wait for you. All have sinned. I'm waiting. I give you a cue. It's in Romans. And don't stop going to Romans 10. It's not there. It's not Romans 10. It's not in 8. I wait. Are you guys there? We'll start memorizing verses in this church room. The media team has been dragged to the mud. Okay, they are there now. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's not where it ended. Verse 24. That's not where it ended. Being justified freely by his grace. Oh, put up like, go back to Matthew 23. Put up like NLT. Put up like NLT. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory standard. That's not where you stop. Verse 24 now said, yet God. I love yet God. With undeserved kindness, declares that we are. Do we have righteous men in the house this morning? Declares that we are righteous. Yet God declares that we are righteous. Some righteous. Some righteous. Some righteous. Some righteous. Hallelujah. That is what you do with God's word. It should be on your lips. I know it in my heart. Where is your heart? Let us hear it. Are you following me? See for a moment. I'm righteous. So that's sanctification. That's righteous. That's holiness. And I tell you, this may look like a sacrilegious statement to make. Or, you know, but I tell you, on the scale of righteousness, you weigh the same as God. Should I say it again? On the scale of righteousness, you weigh the same as God. If God is 100 kg righteous, you are 100 kg. You say why? Because the righteousness you have is not your own. It is his righteousness that he gave you. If we go by works, we don't even walk to one kg. Because our perfect works are like a filthy rag before him. But glory to God, we are not righteous on our own accord. We are righteous with his righteousness. So where do we put it? On our lips. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. Hallelujah. It should be a normal thing to say that we're righteous. I can go further to show you in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Oh, glory to God. Que maredo vadash. I had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, where Christ is seated is where the believer is seated. And that speaks of the authority that the believer has. That speaks of the authority we have. So Christ Jesus brought me to his level of authority. That's a lot. Look at that. Look at that verse. Raised us up together. Made us sit together. So where Jesus sat, oh glory, when he rose from the dead, that's where God brought you to sit. So that's why the believer is a man of authority. He has the same authority that God has. Same authority. Are you following me? Same authority. I know authority is not power. Authority is stronger than power. But to have both. You hear what I said? Authority is not power. Authority is stronger than power. But we have authority and we still have. Authority is what the governor has. He might not be able to beat anybody. He might not be able to shoot a gun. But he walks with his head high. Because that's authority. By his authority, he can command soldiers to shoot and they shoot. That is authority. That is what the believer has. So he walks. You see him as one weak, slim guy. We don't get power. But there are an innumerable company of angels at his beck and call. And all he has to say is, oh, move. And they move. Are you following me this morning? And that is what you have. So you can begin to say to yourself, I have authority in Christ. I have authority. I'm not a victim. You didn't hear me. I'm not a victim of life. I have authority. I have authority. I have authority. Luke 10 verse 19. I have authority. Glory to God. Leborate yagash. Glory to God. Luke 10 verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power. Say, I have power. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You put it on your lips. I have power. Over all the, you know, this is what happened in Christ. You know, this is the Bible said in Isaiah 54 verse 17. That's why I told you, who you are in Christ is the basic, is the most important. Isaiah 54 verse 17, he said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Are you following? And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, what happens? He didn't say they shall be condemned. They say you shall condemn. Are you following? Now, pay attention. In other words, if a tongue rises against me and I don't condemn it, it's there. What are the things that rise against you? Satan whispers into your heart. Say, you're a very big sinner. All this you have committed, God doesn't like you. What do you do? Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. You put God's words on your lips and begin to say, I'm righteous. Yeah. Now, why would every tongue, why would no weapon formed against you prosper? Look at that verse. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So it is because you are righteous in Christ that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Are you following what I'm saying? So, they said, Satan sends the voices in your heart. See, the way you are like this. Nobody likes you. Notice even pastor was greeting everybody. He did not greet you. He even tried to hug him. He gave you a handshake. He doesn't like you. And you stand up and you begin to pace around in your room. Oh, I am accepted in the beloved. God loves me. And I know it. I know it. I know it. So I have authority in Christ. These are the things you have in Christ Jesus. Mark 16:17, he said, if you believe, these sons shall follow they that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. It's part of what you have in Christ. So you can be said about yourself, I cast out devils. You know, you can say this so much that you believe it like you know your name. That whenever the devil sees you, the devil even knows that you cast him out. I cast out devils. I speak in new tongues. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. If I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. It is your sign in Christ Jesus. So that's where confession starts from. You must learn to know what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. And you speak them. These confessions, you don't pray for them. This particular one I'm explaining to you now. It's not what you pray for. It's not what you wish. It is who you are. So confessing them will not make you have them. Because you already do. However, I'll show you like four things that confessing will make you have. We're going to close very soon because I want us to talk. Are you ready to talk? Confessing them, first of all, will bring awareness. It will make, Philemon 1 verse 6, he said that the confession of your faith will make effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing in you. And so when you begin to say these things, that's how you know them. You don't know them because I'm saying them. You know them because you are saying it. And the beautiful thing about saying is that when you are speaking, you are hearing what you are saying. Are you what I'm saying? So it's not just about me saying it. It's about you saying it too. So the first thing it does is that it makes you know them. So it doesn't matter whether I know them or not. If I have them, I have them. No. If you don't know them, you cannot enjoy them. Not like a man that has money in the bank and he doesn't know he has money in the bank. He can't enjoy them. Are you following me? You can't enjoy them. If you don't know them, you cannot enjoy them. And there is something about knowing the things God has done for you in Christ. That is how you even begin to grow spiritually. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. He said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Read with me. Add to your faith what? And to virtue. Continue. And to knowledge. Come on, let me hear you. And to temperance. And to patience. Okay, verse 7. And to godliness. And to brotherly kindness. So you keep adding this to yourself. Now see this, the secret. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be unfruitful or barren in the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. So all these things being in you, they will make you to be a fruitful man. They will stop from being barren in Christ Jesus. In other words, you'll be a productive Christian. But see the secret, verse 9. Anybody lacking this thing, can you lack this thing? He is blind. He cannot see afar off. He has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So it is forgetfulness of your forgiveness that makes you lack faith, virtue, character, and all that. In other words, once you keep in mind what God has done for you in Christ, you will grow stronger in your walk with God. And that's why it's good to talk. Because by talking, imagine you wake up every morning, you remind yourself that you're forgiven. Now, let me say this to my friends. Sometimes we teach regression realities and everybody think they know them. You only discover you don't know them when something happens. Have you ever thought you knew forgiveness in Christ until you made a mistake and you almost took your life? That time you are hearing, but pastors are forgiven. He said, believe that forgiveness thing, Joe. You don't know it. You have heard it. You don't know it. Do I have a witness in the house this morning? I feel I'm saying. You don't know it. You know, you think, we say, you know, part of the thing we have in Christ is joy. You know that? He said, I have joy. You don't know it. It's when one bad thing happens. Depression takes over you. And somebody called and said, ah, sister, you have joy. And they say, joy, what? If you say you don't know it, that tells that knowing something is beyond hearing it. And I'm pretty sure how you know it. It's by talking. One of the ways is by repetitive hearing. I told you there are two ways things settle in your heart. repetitive hearing and repetitive speaking. These two things settle things in your heart. You keep hearing it over and over again, and you keep saying it over and over again. Get the point? He said, I know that I have authority in Christ. Nothing will happen. Odeji in Christ. You think you know it? Amen. Until you watch one film, where things are appearing and disappearing, you can no longer sleep in the night. You non-stop. Then you close your eyes, you just see them, wow. You say, mommy, mommy. No, you don't know it. And that's the point. We think we know things because we hear them. He said, I'm righteous. I know my sins are forgiven. And then, one day, you shock yourself. Have you ever shocked yourself one day? You did something like, Jesus, see it, I did this thing. That's the day we will know whether you understand your forgiveness well. Satan will now come at you, believer in Christ. Minister. Saint of God. Everything. And you see a believer that has been confessing he's righteous, he goes down 1 week, 2 weeks, he's not been able to stand up. But he said he knows he's righteous. He doesn't know it. He has heard it. He doesn't know it. When a believer makes a mistake, simply shall acknowledge that he made a mistake. Not acknowledging it, that one is having a reprobate heart. Saying it doesn't matter, that's having a reprobate heart. Are you getting the point? So shall acknowledge that you did something wrong. And then stand up from that place. And step into who you are in Christ and take your place. But what the Satan does, he keeps you down for 2 weeks because you don't know these things. And that's why you must make it a constant practice to speak who you are in Christ. It brings awareness. Are you following me? It brings awareness. No, jokingly, I said to people, you think you know that you are loved in Christ. Until a guy that you've been crushing on, say, when your crush does not even crush on you, or maybe your crush is telling you of his crush. And you are not the one. You had your crush, one of you are talking. He said, I have something to talk to you about. He said, what is it? He said, I'm considering getting into a relationship. And you are happy. Because you think it's you. And I say, that's okay. Maybe what you do is be bold, talk to the girl, you know, just... Who knows, she might like you too. Because you think you are the one. Amen. You know, I say, well, I've already told Asha. And she said she will give me an answer next week. Now start wondering when they told you. It's not you. Now my point is, simple things like this, you now begin to feel, am I not good enough? What is wrong with me? You know, I say, send me the girl's picture. They send it. You are comparing. What does she have that? Rejection can make you feel unloved. But when you know the love of Christ, you feel bad because you are human. I get the point. But then, you know, I told you guys something on Thursday. One major sign of growth is that you know how to bounce back quicker. I get the point. It shows that you are growing. That when things happen to you, if it took you 6 hours to bounce back last year, this year should begin to take you 1 hour, 30 minutes. Some of you it took you, the last issue that hit you, it took you 8 months to come back to yourself. This time when it happens again, bring it down to 1 week or 1 day. That means you're growing. And it doesn't happen automatically, you must keep saying it. I get to the point. I'm loved of God. I'm accepted and beloved. I'm accepted and beloved. God accepts me. Hallelujah. So, saying it first of all, confession of your realities in Christ brings awareness. It brings awareness. Secondly, this confession will bring more revelation. More revelation. You know, the thing is, the things you have in Christ, they are as simple as saying, I'm forgiven. But they are deeper than that. You know, you can get more revelation about your forgiveness. You get the point? You've heard it. You've heard, I'm forgiving. If you do, you see, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son, that scripture can open up to you in a very amazing way. And you'll be shouting and crying and you're wondering, people say, oh, so what did you study today? John 3:16. So why are you shouting? He said, don't understand, God so loved me.
He said, huh?
So pastor be saying this all the while, man. But it can no, that's revelation. At least, remember when I taught you on epignosis of Christ? That's revelation. When the word of God opens up to you, you've heard it. But suddenly it comes to you. You've heard it in your heart, but somehow it begins to open up. It begins to open up. Now, many things you've heard in your head, the day you have the revelation. And I tell you, revelation is the key to many things in life. You see, this thing we're talking about prosperity, God wants you to prosper. The day the revelation of that thing happens to you, you will not be down again. And that's what the speaking does. When you keep saying it, it's opening you up to more knowledge, more revelation in that same thing. So you keep saying that I'm forgiven. You keep saying it. And the more you say it, the more it makes sense to you. That's revelation. The more it makes sense to you, I'm justified. I am not guilty. On the scale of righteousness, I weigh the same as God. That simple statement can change your life forever. But it's revelation. You notice that's why Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians 1 verse 17. He said that the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what he has been teaching these people. He still told them, you know the Ephesian church, you know who their pastor is? Huh? No, their pastor is Timothy. Timothy was the pastor of this Ephesian church. Paul put him over them. So Timothy, a sound teacher of the word, has been with people for years. And yes, Paul wrote to them and said, I'm praying for you that you may know the hope of his calling. What else is there to know? It's revelation. Are you following me this morning? It's more revelation. He just opens up to you like that. That you may know. And I tell you, the Bible, you see, Paul will call it the unsearchable riches of Christ. Know what that means? Unsearchable riches. It means you cannot finish finding it out. Even if you live for 200 years on earth and you have revelation every day, you will not keep finish finding out how much, how deep this thing that God has done for us in Christ is. Look at this. I think it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It's very deep. Put up like NLT. Look at the screen. Let's read together. Do you still have a voice? Let's read. Where did you go? Come on, put your voice to it. Let's go again. He will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. Okay, continue. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Verse 18. Watch. As all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. So this will just say, I'm loved of God. It is beyond that. It is wide. It is long. It is high. It is deep. So it's beyond what I say. So Paul is praying, I pray you understand it. He has been telling them God loves you. But he said, I'm praying that one day this thing will open up to you. How high, how deep, how wide it is. So when the choir was singing this morning, your love is all I see on every side. You see, it's not just about singing it. When you keep saying these things, it keeps opening up to you. And that's why, you see, I'm going to say the songs we sing in this church, they're not just ordinary songs. The reason we put those things to songs, so that you can keep saying them. The more you are saying it, the more you are knowing them. The more it's opening up to you. Probably like message of this. Amplified or message, any of them. Verse 18. Hallelujah. Now, look at this. You will be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. God's love is beyond what we just see. It's a revelation. And so as you keep saying it, it can scatter you. It can mess. It can shatter you. Do you know, God's love can open up to you in a way. And you sit at a spot crying for 8 hours. And I'm not missing words. For 8 hours, you are sobbing. You are crying. You are shouting. You are laughing. You are crying. That's the depth of the love of God. Are you following me? That's depth. And so that's why you keep speaking God's word, because it's opening up to you. It's opening up to you. It's bringing more revelation. It's bringing more revelation. How deep it is. How wide it is. How high it is. You keep knowing. You keep knowing. That's why if you have a tongue, one of the things that should characterize your day when you wake up is to study your Bible. When you are done studying, begin to speak forth the things God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, I bless you, Father, for I am righteous in you. I am sanctified in you. I am accepted in you. I am loved. You are my Father. I am your Son. You have blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now I stand before you to say that I am loved, I am forgiven, and there is no sin in me. And as you stand before the Father, I stand before the Father too. The same way you stand before the Father without any sense of shame or guilt or condemnation, I stand that same before the Father without any sense of shame or guilt or condemnation. I am sanctified in you. Holy, holy, set apart. I am not the world. I am not darkness. I am light now. The more you are saying that thing, continue. It will be a crazy revelation. And that even takes me to the next thing. Apart from revelation, as you keep saying these things, it begins to bring conviction. I've said it many times to you. The things that are information in your head becomes conviction in your heart as you keep saying them. You know, the reason why things can happen and you begin to doubt, am I even sure this is true? It's because there is no conviction. Amen. There's no conviction. Amen. What's your name? She knows I'm laughing. What's your name? Should I say your name? I should not say that name. Okay. So her name is Esther. How did you know your name was Esther? You grew up, they kept repeating it to you. They kept repeating it to you. And you kept saying it about yourself. So they ask you, what's your name? My name is Esther. You kept saying it. The more you kept saying it, you became so convinced that your name is Esther. In fact, you cannot even remember a time your name was not Esther. But there was a time your name was not Esther. Do you know this? There was a time you are not Priscilla. Do you know? When they gave birth, what was your name? Your name was Tata. I think you're right. Tata, oh baby, baby, baby. That was your name then. But you can't remember. So sometimes they gave you a name. At first, when they call you that, it was already your name. It was already your birth certificate. But if they still call you that name, you will not answer. They kept telling you. You grew up. You went to school. They kept asking you. You kept saying it. Now, nobody can convince you that that is not your name. That's how confession works. So you've heard that you are righteous. You can keep saying it until it becomes rugged conviction in your heart that even the whole force in heaven and earth cannot talk you out of it. But the reason why you hear that you are righteous and you are forgiven in Christ, I have to go to a program and the pastor preaches fire and brimstone. And you begin to wonder, am I even sure I'm righteous? It's because you don't know it. It's not yet a conviction in your heart. You can't talk me out of this thing. Let me say this to you. If I have a dream, I see a dream where rapture took place and I went to hell, I'll just wake up. You see, I will not even pray. I will not even remember the dream. That's the first thing. It is so settled in my heart that I cannot go to hell. I've heard it and I've said it to myself so much that God keeps me from falling. Jude verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I've heard it, I've said it too much. God keeps me. You see this boy? He can't go to hell. He can't go to hell. Jesus said in John chapter 6, in verse 39, he said, and this is the Father's will. I've said this to myself too much. You see these scriptures? I did not memorize them. They are in my head. This is the Father's will. What is the Father's will? Not 39. That all who see his son and believe in him will have He said, this is Father's will that we are, that I should lose nothing but should raise up a letter. Verse 30. Verse 40. Quickly, verse 40. And this the Father's, this is the will of him that sent me. And everyone which seeth the Son and may have. So I have seen the Son, I've believed in him, I have everlasting life, he will raise me up at the last day. Keep saying that to yourself. Say, I've seen the Son. I've believed in him. I have everlasting life. He will raise me up at the last day. You keep saying, you don't just say it, you keep saying it. That's what the Bible said. I've seen the Son, I've believed in him, I have everlasting life, you raise me up. You don't just say it, you keep saying it. The more you say it, it becomes rugged conviction in your heart. It's like the more you're saying it, the more it is being established in your heart. To the point that even the whole forces on earth cannot make you doubt it. Everybody following me. To the point that even if everybody on earth begin to explain to you, no, this is it, you still believe it. You still believe it. It's a power of conviction. It's a power of conviction. It's a power of conviction. Do you have a voice? So keep saying, I'm righteous. I'm forgiven. I'm sanctified. God loves me. God has accepted me. He has raised me. He raised me up on the last day. I can never go to hell. Hallelujah. People say be rapturable. But the Bible never said we should be rapturable. I follow him. The Bible rather says the opposite. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So what did Christ do to the church? He loved the church and what? Talk back to me. And did what? Now, next verse. That he might sanctify. And so who sanctifies the church? Huh? Is it the church that should sanctify itself? Are you looking at the Bible? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Who does this job? Christ. Verse 27. That he might present it to. So who presents church to himself? Christ. A glorious church. So who makes the church glorious? Christ. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Who does all these things? Christ. So the Bible never says we should be rational. The Bible said that Christ will present, will prepare us and present us to himself. You keep saying it to yourself. I am holy and without blame. And I have no spots. I have no wrinkle. He says, sir, hey, but it's not true. Now I have spots and wrinkle. It's not your face I'm talking about. I know that it's spot and I can see. I can see. Say, I have no spots. Forget about your face. I know. I get. It's not everybody that, you know, that, not everybody that is blessed. People like us, you know. No spots or wrinkle. Can you see? I'm talking about your spirit, man. You have no spots or... See, even though you might have spots or wrinkles in your face now, rejoice, because in the spirit you have no spots. So I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. I am holy and without blame. No spots, no wrinkle. I am holy before Jesus. And that's what it brings. It brings more conviction. It keeps speaking them. And I can tell you one more thing that confessing God's word brings. It brings ease to walk in them. The reason why you know what God has done, you've heard it, but you cannot walk in them, is because you don't say them enough. And I'll show you in the Bible. I'm righteous, I'm righteous. How many of you know that we are righteous, not by our works, but we are righteous to do good works. You know what I'm saying? That it is not by your works that you become righteous, but your righteousness should make you do righteous works. Are you following me this morning? You are not saved by your works, but you are saved unto good works. You know what I said? The reason God made you holy. Now, you don't become holy by your works. You are holy by your faith in Christ. But that holiness you now have in Christ will now make you to do holy works. So the reason you're not able to do how God has made you is because you don't say it enough. Joshua 1 verse 8. Joshua 1 verse 8. Look at that. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He said, thou shalt meditate on it day and night. What will not happen? That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. So how are you able to do what is written in it? Let's start again. What did we go? Let's read the verse. So, first thing, where should you not depart from? So, it goes from your mouth to where? Your heart, where you meditate on it. What will not happen? So that you will be able to do what is written. So, it is by speaking, moving what has been done for you in Christ, from your tongue to your heart, that you are able to do them. And so, when we speak what God has done a lot, it becomes easy to walk in them. Let me say this to you. I heard this from Pastor Joseph Prince, and I've shared it a couple of times here. So this guy had an addiction. He was addicted to cigarettes, you know, tobacco, India hemp, all those stuffs, you know. And if you're like that, that is help for you. Because in Christ Jesus, he has forgiven you, he has redeemed you, he has made you righteous. Even though you are still struggling with that, he has made the righteous. He is not going to condemn you because of those things. However, he doesn't want you to continue in those things. Do you know what I said? So Pastor Prince said, see what you do. He said, every day tell yourself that you are righteous in Christ. Every day tell yourself. Every day tell yourself. So the guy now told him, what of when I smoke the thing? When I, after saying that I see smoke it, he said, whenever you smoke it, say, I'm righteous in Christ. Imagine, I'm righteous in Christ. I'm not addicted to tobacco. I'm not addicted to smoking. I am free in Christ Jesus. I'm free. I'm not addicted. But you know what? It worked. The next time, try what I'm going to say. Just that you are too spiritual. You are too carnal. That's the problem. The next time you are faced with a very big temptation, somebody is trying to get you to bed. Now, in your heart, something is telling you, you will do it, you will not do it. Engage your tongue. Start saying, I'm righteous in Christ. I'm not a slave to fornication. I'm not a slave. I'm in that room. Not in your heart. Start saying it. But you say, what is it? I'm righteous. I'm holy. Holy men don't have sex before marriage. Do you know, if you say that enough, you and the person will get tired. But you say, okay, we have heard. You say, I've not heard, I'm righteous. You're packing your things. I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. Bye-bye. Righteous man is going home. Do you know, speaking God's word, even in the face of a temptation, will help you overcome it. But what happens, it comes, you're just, trust me, whenever a temptation comes, these things I'm saying, they rise in your heart. But you're righteous. Are you going to do this? What are you doing? I'll be there. Say, stop. You know we are Christians. We shouldn't be doing this. But say, forget it. Say, you know, we're Christians. You know, pastor will find that. If pastor find that now, he says, don't worry. Just leave it. Let's do. Talk. I'm righteous in Christ. Stop pissing around. So that's what I'm saying to the guy. Say, if you take the thing. I'm righteous in Christ. You know, Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Put up NLT. Look at the Bible. You will see how to. It's not just in the face of temptation. Every day, the more you keep saying who you are in Christ, every day, you are receiving empowerment to walk in those things you are saying. Look at this. We know, how many of you know, that our old sinful selves, we are crucified with Christ. So what do you say when you woke up in the morning? My old sinful self was. So you can even add anything there. That's a sin you're struggling with. My old what? How do we put there? Smoking. Lying. Masturbation. Pornography. You get the point? Was crucified with Christ. So that sin you mentioned might lose its power in your life. You are no longer a slave to sin. That's what you say when you wake up. Verse 7. For when we die with Christ, we are set free from the power of sin. So no sin has power over you. No sin. But it's not just going to happen suddenly. You have to be saying it to yourself every day. You wake up, you pace around your room. Smoking has no power over me. Pornography has no power over me. When I died with Christ, I was set free from the power of sin. When I died with Christ, I was set from the power of sin. Sin has no power over me. Every day. That's the power of God's word. It's the power of homologio. You are taking what God has said about you and you are saying it about yourself. You are receiving doing power. Power to do them. Apostle James tells us, he said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he said, the same shall be a doer of the word. He will not be a forgetful hearer. How do you continue looking? I've finished talking in church now that you are righteous in Christ. Go home and keep looking at it by your words. You study them again, you say them. You look at them again, you say them. You pace around your room every morning and night. And I tell you, what I'm telling you is not what I heard. What I'm telling you, I have said to many people. I've met people at different levels of addiction. I said, put God's word on them. Some of them, I had to make them write scriptures and write confessions and paste them around their rooms. So that when they wake up every day, they see it. And I told them, every time you see it, say it. Are you getting the point? And that's what we're trying to do for our children. If you get to the children's church now, we have some confessions scattered around their church. And we're even going to make more. And the idea is every day they will be made to say those things. They will grow up into that awareness. I get the point. Every time you see it, say it. Sometimes put it in front of your phone as a wallpaper. I'm not a slave to sin. Every time you see it, say it. Not in your heart. Not in your heart. Say it loud enough for anybody that cares to listen. When you are speaking, you are hearing yourself. Guess what? Even that devil is hearing you. Are you getting me? I'm not a slave to sin. I'm saying this because I know this is church. And because this is church, everybody comes to church on a Sunday morning wearing suit and looking fine. But I know people have their struggles. And I'm saying you can walk out of that struggle by knowing what God has done for you in Christ and by putting it on your lips and making it a daily confession. A daily confession. God has accepted me. He has accepted me. Hallelujah. He has accepted me. You keep saying it. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to that. I'm forgiven in Christ. I'm righteous in Him. God loves me. I am His son. He can never reject me. I don't struggle with sin. I triumph over sin. I live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. I'm made aware. You know that song? Of my blessings in Christ. Woo. And I enjoy,
and I enjoy,
yes.
All my blessings in Christ.
This is my season.
This is my season.
Say that song like two times.
This is my time.
This is my season.
This is my season.
It's a very simple song. This is my time.
This is my time. I'm made aware
of my blessings in Christ.
Of my blessings in Christ.
I'm not confused.
I'm not confused.
Of my blessings.
Of my blessings in Christ.
And I enjoy.
And I enjoy. Of my blessings in Christ.
This is my season.
This is season.
This is my time.
This is my time.
This is my season.
This is my season.
Come on, church. This is my time. Come on.
This is my time.
I'm made aware.
I'm made aware.
Of my blessings in Christ.
Of my blessings in Christ.
I'm not confused.
I'm not confused.
Of
my blessings in Christ.
Season.
This is my season. This is
is my time.
This is my season.
This is my season. This is my time.
See how I'm made
of who I am. I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am.
See, I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am.
Keep touching it. I'm made aware of who I am. I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am. I am convinced of who I am in Christ Jesus. Let me hear you say,
I'm made aware of who I am.
I have knowledge of the word. I flow in the peace of the spirit. I'm made aware.
I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. I'm made aware.
I'm made aware. I'm made aware of who I am.
That should be your reality. That should be your reality. That's what you keep saying every day. You keep declaring how you're righteous, how you're forgiven, how Satan has no power over you. You keep saying it.
I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am.
Deborah, da ba do da ba do da 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 do.
I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm sanctified in Christ, justified in Him.
I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am.
Deborah, da ba.
I'm made aware of who I am. I'm made aware of who I am. I'm made aware of who I am.
I'm made aware of who I am. Bush. I'm going to lead you to talk today.
Listen.
Stand if you want to. You see, what I'm teaching you about should be able to affect even your everyday conversation. What's that I should say this? Beyond your normal confession, there are three ways to use this thing. One, the confession part, where you make out of mind, you speak it. Secondly, your everyday conversation with people, it should affect it. And it was never been found at any time in your life, speaking doubt, even in your normal interaction with people. Are you getting me? If you don't ever tell yourself, my life is just so messy, don't do that. See, the way I'm just struggling with this sin, don't talk like that. Somebody was talking to me recently, just one of my daughters, she made a very careless statement. She said something like, you know me, self, you know I'm very weak. She was talking about the sin she was struggling with. So I was trying to talk to her, I just tried to separate myself from some of these things. You know me, I'm very weak. I said, why are you talking about yourself like that? And I made her repeat the opposite for more than 15 times.
Because she had just made a mistake, was correcting her. So I told her one of the ways to avoid that mistake is stay away from people that are exposed to that mistake. She said, yes, Papa, I think that's what I'm going to do. You know me, I'm very weak. I said, that's not what I'm saying. You stay away because you are very strong, not because you are weak. I know what I'm talking about. Even your everyday conversation, it should not come up. And the third way you use it is in your songs. Never be found singing songs that negate anything you are in Christ Jesus. Your songs should be part of your confession. That's why if you've been here since morning, you should know we don't sing. We are not a church that is seeking to entertain you. You won't find that here. I'm not going to sing song because it's raining. Seems I don't have any meaning. You must sing. We sing so that when we are singing, you are thinking. And singing with us. Singing with us. Because it must be your song. Look at the kind of songs they sang. You see Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. Revelation 5 verse 9. Very powerful stuff. See what I'm singing this morning. I'm made aware of who I am. I'm justified. I'm blessed. Put up Revelation 5 verse 9. Put up like in James. We start from there. Revelation 5 verse 9. Said, and they sung a new song. What did they sing to God? They said, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and king, and tongue, and people, and nation. That's what you sing. What God has done for you. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. And he has made us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Your confession should be your song. That's one of the things you look forward to whenever you come to church every Sunday morning here. Is to learn new songs. Not just for you to dance to them, for you to go home and begin to sing them. As I was telling our choir, this place is not a place to come and entertain. That's not the aim. Maybe some people go home with a song and they will sing. And they will sing, confessing who they are, what God has said to them, what Christ has done to them and done for them. I sing glory to my Savior. He took my place. Come on, come on. I place me where he. Very powerful song.
I am justified by him.
It's no longer I that live.
It's no longer I that live.
But Christ that lives
but
in me.
But Christ who lives in me.
Say one more time. Say, I see glory.
I see glory.
To my Savior.
To my Savior.
He took my place.
He took my place.
Is.
I place me where he is.
I am justified by him singing.
I am justified by him. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me.
I'm not the one living. Jesus lives in me.
Jesus lives in me. I am justified. I'm living forever.
Everything you are, I am.
Everything you are, I am.
Yeah, I'm not the one living.
I'm not the one living.
Jesus lives in me.
Jesus lives in me.
I am justified.
I am justified.
Yeah.
I'm living forever.
You sing everything you are. Everything you are, I am.
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 I'm justified, I'm righteous, I'm sanctified, I am blessed.
Everything you are, I am.
I'm justified. I'm righteous. Everything.
Everything you are, I am.
You are, I am.
You are, I am.
Everything 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 you are, I am, Jesus.
Everything you are, I am.
Everything you are, you've made me.
Everything you are, I am.
Everything you are, I am, Jesus.
Everything you are,
I am.
Everything
you are, I am, Jesus.
Everything you are, I am.
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 Everything you are.
Everything you are, I am, Jesus.
Everything you are, I am.
Everything you are, I am.
Everything you are, I am.
Everything you are, everything you are.
Everything you are, I am.
I'm going to lead you to talk. I'm going to lead you to talk. We just close from there. First John 2 verse 12. Stand your feet. I'm going to talk on top of your voice. First John 2 verse 12. Shoboro do ba da di adada da bo shade. Hey! Someone who la de krade ash. He said, I write unto you, little children, for your sins are forgiven you. Say this one. He said, my sins are forgiven me. For his name's sake. Let me teach you something. When you confess, honor God's word. Scream it. Stand up. Lift your, do everything. Honor it. Say, my sins are forgiven me. For his name's sake. Say it three times. My sins are forgiven me. For his name's sake. Secondly, my sins are forgiven me for his name's sake. Thirdly, my sins are forgiven me for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Lemono darabash. Said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to this of his grace. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Proper NLT, let's say it to the NLT. Speak that word to the NLT. In any way you understand this simply. Say, God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased my freedom with the blood of his son and forgave my sins. Say it again. God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased my freedom with the blood of his son and forgave my sin. Romans 4 verse 5, be in NLT. Romans 4 verse 5. Viate corobotu la gabashada. Zuzevere de comandele prototo cobodash. Le por. What about dynamic? Quite very spiritual. Let's just get, are you ready? Say, I am counted as righteous. Not because of my work, but because of my faith in God who forgives sinners. That's what you say. I am counted as righteous. Not because of my work, but because of my faith in God who has forgiven me. Hallelujah. My faith in God has made me righteous. Romans 3 verse 21. Romans 3 21. Be in NLT. He said, now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. Verse 22. He said, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are.
matter who we are. No matter who we are. Say, I've been made right with God by my faith in Jesus Christ. This is true concerning me. This is true about me. It's true about me. Ephesians 1 verse 6. Ephesians 1 verse 6. I think we'll walk with NL, with King James first. Hallelujah. He said, to the praise of the glory of his name, when he has made us accepted in the beloved. Say, I am accepted in the beloved. Say again, I am accepted in the beloved. That's a scripture I like. Romans 5 verse 8. I'm accepted in the beloved. Woo, glory. Veboradesh. Zigoroboteash. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Say, he died for me. Say, he loved me and died for me. And died for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I am loved. Say, I am loved. First John 3 verse 1. We make these confessions every day. First John 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon Henry, that Henry should be called the Son of God. He said, therefore, the world does not know Henry because he doesn't know God. You know, why the world cannot understand me? It's because they don't understand God. I am like him. If they understand God, they will understand me. Look at verse 2. And I like verse 2. He said, beloved. And I'm talking to call your name, say, Henry. Now are you a son of God? I'm a son of God. I am a child of God. Let nobody talk you out of this. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. God calls you his son. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Shout it, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 4 verse 5. I am a son of God. Oh, glory to God. To redeem them that we are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We are sons of God. The way NLT puts it, NLT says, God sent him to buy freedom for us, who we are slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I am God's very child. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. Your love is all I see on the
side. Your love is all I see on every side. Your love is all I see on every side. Your love is all I see
on every side.
On every side.
Your love is all I see.
Your love is all I see on every side.
Your love is all I see.
Your love is all I see on every side.
Your love is all I see.
Your love is all I see on every side.
Your love is all I see.
Your love is all I see on every side.
So you keep saying these things. Do we do one more? Ephesians 2 verse 6. Ephesians 2 verse 6. Woo, Rabata Kadash. Say, God has raised me up together with Christ, and he has made me sit together with him in heavenly places. Say it again. Say, God has raised me up together with Christ. He has made me sit together with him in heavenly places. Say, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ah, we are seated with him. I've stayed with him. Luke 10 verse 19. I've stayed with him. You're going to put this one on top of your voice. Luke 10 verse 19. I'm seated with him. Say, behold, God has given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. You didn't hear that. God has given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies stop me. No harm, no hurt, no shame. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn now, because I'm righteous in Christ. I'm holy, I'm forgiven, I'm sanctified, I'm a child of God, I'm redeemed in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a child of God. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. That's the thing. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you have a tongue? Give Him praise. Let's do one more song. That song we did last week. My mind is stayed on God's word. He gives me perfect peace always. He gives me perfect peace always. Glory to God. Yeah.
The screen, come on.
I want to hear your voice. Oh, yeah. Peace again.
He said, I'm blessed, so I never stay down. He said, every man.
Yes, yes,
is
yes.
That a pose, so I stand up to test that. Is that a means, so I stand
up to test that. He said I'm blessed.
Like a bless. He said I'm free, so I walk like a free man. Free. He said I'm
bold,
so I stand tall to face.
Yes, 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 yes,
he said
yes,
I'm
yes,
here,
yes,
so
yes, 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 yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, he said I'm here, so I'll never stay down.
Give a shout to the Lord.
Woo!
Glory, 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 glory. Amen. So how are we stepping into a new week? Blessed, forgiven, righteous, free, bold, healed. Come on. This week is blessed. This week is blessed. This week is blessed. Because Satan has nothing on you. He has nothing on you. He said there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has nothing on me. Give a shout all over this place. Come on. He has nothing on me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As you go home, continue. Say what God has said. Homologio throughout this week. In your conversation, let it come. I want you to say these things to a point that even when you're confessing, notice your normal exclamation has always been blood of Jesus. Or Nkeme go queen. You should replace those exclamations. I get the point. Such that when something suddenly happens, what should come out is, Jesus, I'm righteous. You say, I'm blessed. It can become your everyday exclamation. Because Nkege cannot go. That cannot be a confession. Nkege go queen. How can you all go like that? Some people, what is happening? Mommy, bo. Why? Leave that woman alone. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You notice when you ask me, how are you doing? I always reply with, I'm blessed. It should become every day. How are you doing? I'm blessed. Say, you sound so spiritual. Is that not who you are? You're not spiritual. Even after, Monday, tomorrow morning is Monday. You get to work. So how was your weekend? So it was a blessed weekend. How are you doing this morning? I'm blessed. And you know when I write this, I don't write the blessed in small letter. If I'm telling you, big, I'm blessed. So I don't miss it. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Give somebody high fives. I'm blessed. Give him high fives. I'm blessed. Tell your neighbor, say, forget that. I'm blessed, y'all. Forget that. I'm blessed. Forget it. I'm blessed. Now, close this way. When you leave this place, Satan is going to attack everything I've said to you. And he's going to attack it in your heart. But you have a tongue. Are you getting me? You have a tongue. He's going to attack it. He's going to tell you, Pastor, I finished talking. He's going to maybe tempt you with something. He's attacking what has been said to you. Tom said, so I went out to sow the word. Some fell on different. Satan will always come for the word. Always. But you have a tongue. Reply him. It brings thoughts of guilt and whatever. You are feeling good now, but you go and remember what you've done and all that. It's unforgiving. Nice to tell you guys, some of you are still in your trekking days. You don't have a car. You don't even have money. You see, it's not something to feel bad about. Don't waste your trekking days. And I'm saying it seriously. As you are walking,
be talking.
Hey! Don't waste your breaking days. I'm very serious.
As you're walking, be talking.
Last, you are going to trek from here to Holy Ghost. So what's the point wasting it? And complaining. Engage your tongue. Pray in tongues small. Speak God's word small. Pray in tongues. Don't worry. When it begins to manifest. In the man of God in this country said that one of his friends used to think he was crazy until he found out he was very crazy. You understand? So finally, the guy entered his parlor one day and saw him lay hands on his fridge. Speaking about his fridge, you are filled with food. I'm serious. He said the guy thought I was crazy until he found out I was very crazy. He said, I give up on you totally. Let's go continue.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.